How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I am your host, T, from the infamous tblog.com, and now I reside right here on the T Podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Some call me the Tom Brady of blogging, the Conor McGregor of podcasting, the white Tupac of screenwriting, the king of the bean, aka Boston, the man who is always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now let me do what I do here, and that is to entertain the shit out of all of you. Welcome to the T Podcast for Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. Today is technically, even though I celebrated the 1 year anniversary last week because of the way the 100th T episode fell on that day, the T Podcast. I guess stop calling the podcast T episodes. I'm so used to calling them that from the T Podcast. From T Blog, and I combined the two, keeping my brand going, keeping my identity going, and I gotta separate. A year later, T Blog was the T episodes, the play on episodes, see what I did there with the T, and then the T podcast themselves are something separate. But together, it's the T Blog brand. T, me, the guy who always takes it there, the guy who is always on his grown man shit, the guy from Boston, the guy with a story to tell, who's been doing this podcast now 1 year. Tomorrow will be the official anniversary. That'll be my 9/11 tribute T podcast, which I didn't get to do last year because I just started the podcast. So today here on this Tuesday, riding solo, I believe this week again, B-Lo had to take another quick little mini break. B-Lo's becoming a real pain in my fucking ass. So I won't have a podcast without the world's greatest co-host. So I'm doing this by myself. I want to get into all the topical shit, all the stuff you want to hear from me, my take on everything. A lot's been happening in the world of, just in the world in general. The world of social media, the world of sports, the world of entertainment, just in life itself. My life, I got a little story to share with all of you. I'd like to see what you all think about that, to come back to me, send me a DM, send me an email, and just react and how you would handle the situation. So, here I am recording in the Tea Palace. Made it known that I'm in the Tea Palace now for a good solid 5 months. I love the place. It's a high rise in Boston, overlooking Fenway Park. I love my building. I got all the perks. It's like basically living in a hotel. I love it. So dealing with that and everything that comes with living in an apartment building like this, one of these newer high-rises, you have on-hand maintenance. You have people that when something goes wrong, they come fix it. Most people in an apartment will have a landlord. If you own something, you're the owner, you're responsible. For this, they have a system. I can either go straight down to my concierge and let them know what's going on. I got a little computer system. I can put the stuff in and let them know whenever I need something fixed. Okay. Came home from my girl's place last week, one night, and Tigger was just running around the apartment doing his thing, chilling. Came back, had a change, go to the gym. I fed him in between. And I didn't realize when I walked into the apartment, as I was about to leave this time around, because I was in the apartment for a good 20 minutes, the strip, the bottom rubber strip, I don't know if you want to call it like a weather strip or whatnot, but the door that is my main door that is off my kitchen, off my long hallway that goes out to the hallway, which are several apartments. There's about 20, 25, I think about 20 apartments on every floor. It keeps from like a draft of things from coming in and out, things getting swept underneath. For me, it's a benefit because Tigger has all these little toys that he loves to sweep across the hardwood, the bamboo floors that they slide. He flicks them all over the place. They go in my bedroom sometimes. They go into the closet, and this prevents them from going outside. So this rubber strip also prevents any of the temperature going on in the hallway. Maybe the air conditioning's on a little stronger out there, or maybe the heat's on when I get to the winter. I haven't been there yet. And I keep my temperature pretty balanced in my apartment. I got central air. I can turn the heat on whatever I want to do if I have the windows open or nothing at all. So this little strip is on the bottom of every door. Every apartment has one because you could tell as you walk down the hall that there's like very limited light. And the doors is a pretty large gap. So they need those rubber strips. My rubber strip was peeled back. Now, it's on there pretty tight. I doubt Tigger really did that. I don't know if it was just been on there for a while or faded or whatever, but half of it was peeled back. I couldn't get it back on. I tried. I even tried a fucking super glue. I got something to say about super glue. For some reason, when I was a kid, I swear to God, that there were fucking super glues out there. I remember the commercials of the guy putting super glue on his fucking hard helmet, and he's on a construction site, and he's holding onto it, and he's like hanging from the beam from his helmet. And all these super glues were, I remember being so strong when I was a kid. I remember my mother putting the fear of God in me, saying, if you fucking get it on your fingers and hold your fingers together, your fingers are going to be stuck together forever. You have to go to the emergency room. But for some reason, I always thought super glue was more powerful than what it was. Either I didn't really have an opportunity to use it when I was younger as much, but as a grown man now, I had super glue in the apartment. I haven't glued shit in a long time. So I'm like, all right, let me try this. So I got the fucking Gorilla Glue. I don't know the difference. Gorilla Glue, crazy glue, super glue. Just can't use fucking Elmer's glue. Remember Elmer's glue? That white shit. They just put it all over your hand, let it dry, and peel it back like a layer of skin when you're in elementary school. Elmer's glue just like leaked through the construction paper, the color paper that you got to make little things with in school. So Elmer's glue is useless. You can't use that shit. So I got the Gorilla Glue. I go down to the floor, to the ground. I press it on. I put the glue on the strip, and I press it. I'm holding it there for a good, I don't know, 60 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And every time I try to loosen my hands, the shit starts to come off. And I'm like, isn't this supposed to glue fucking beams together? Where's the hard hat guy? I mean, it's not working in a fucking rubber strip on a wooden door. So I couldn't get it over there. Instead of me like a big fucking smudge over the bottom of the door. Tig is watching me the entire time. He's smelling it. I peel the whole fucking strip off. I wipe it down with warm water and soap, clean it down the bottom. He's trying to lick the fucking thing. I don't know if he got fucking sick or not. We didn't get sick, but I'm like, get the fuck away from the door. So I took the strip off. And I go into, I was like, I'm gonna go to the fucking gym. Run in the gym, get my work on. I come back, I do some shit on the computer. I go to the maintenance site, I put the order in. I'm like, hey, I need a new rubber fucking strip. The thing peeled back, and you know, I get back to them. And I go to work the next day, and they end up calling me saying they're gonna come fucking fix it. Also, I put a request in about changing the door handles to doorknobs because Tigger is out of control opening up fucking doors with the handles. And apparently they will change it to a doorknob. I was like, basically, I asked them, I was like, hey, have you had a request for someone to change some of the door handles in the apartment to doorknobs because their cat was opening fucking doors? The guy's looking at me, the head concierge guy, like I'm fucking nuts. I know it's nuts. I can't help it that I got a super intelligent fucking cat. This is the shit that he does. He likes opening fucking doors. What do you want me to tell you? Most cats like playing with strings. My cat likes opening fucking drawers and doors. He's a maniac. So the guy's like, no, but we've had people, that little kids that were playing with the door handles, we had to change it because of that. He's like, basically, we can't do it on our own. We don't have the doorknobs, but if you have the doorknobs, we'll replace it for you. I go, perfect. So I got to go out and get doorknobs, and I'm going to replace the handle. So that request went through, and then obviously the guy called me back, and he's like, hey, he's like, you want to replace the rubber strip? And I'm like, yep. He goes, we'll get to it today. He's like, he tells me to think about the doorknobs. I'm like, no problem. I'll get the doorknobs. You can do that another time. So he's like, we'll take care of the strip today. So I'm at the office. I'm at work. I get the email. They send like an automatic email when they actually done their maintenance job, confirming that they did it. I'm like, perfect. All right. When I go home tonight, I'll take a look at it. Here's the thing. Here's the Eastie in me, right? My door is a futuristic door. It doesn't use a key. It uses a fob. So you swipe it, it opens up. Again, it's like living in a high-end hotel, high-rise hotel. But me, being the Eastie person, I always want to test people, right? I want to keep them on their fucking, on their A-game. So before I swipe it, I'm like, let me see if these, because I only had a maintenance call like three other times, minor things when I first moved in. Instead of using the fob, I want to see if my door was locked. I want to see if this person did their job. So of course, I didn't use the fob. I wanted to see, I go to press the handle and my fucking door was unlocked. So while I was gone all day, somebody left my door unlocked, one of the maintenance guys when they did the strip. Better yet, I'm like, motherfucker. I yelled that out loud in my hallway. Now, anytime, again, I understand I'm on the 24-hour surveillance and people who live in my building, I would think they do well for themselves, but a thief is a thief. If I'm saying somebody's coming in off the street because they can't get in with the fob from the ground, let alone by the concierge, my 24-hour security, let alone up in the elevator, let alone into my actual hallway. I know it's a lot of work, but anyone in my apartment building could have just walked by and walked into my apartment. They could have opened the door, Tigger could have got out. They could have stole fucking Tigger. They could have stole any of my fucking valuables. So right there, I was fucking pissed. Pissed. I was fighting the Eastie in me from going downstairs and saying, hey, where's your maintenance office? Because then I would have walked into the maintenance office and I would have knocked out some motherfuckers. And I can't do that anymore. Anyway, I walk into the apartment after being all worked up and I look down to see the rubber strip that they confirmed changed. The rubber strip is fucking crooked. It looked like, I don't know, some disabled, fucking dyslexic, stupid motherfucker whose eye maybe was up on top of his head like the guy from the Goonies put it on, because he definitely put it on. It was so bad, so crooked that the left side is touching the ground. The right side's literally up in the fucking air. So you come into my apartment, you leave my fucking door unlocked, and you do a fucking shit job? Nah, I ain't having that. So I went down to the concierge. I let them know. I also, you got to put like a review in. I never do the reviews, like how was the maintenance service. I told them a new asshole. I said, whoever did it sucks at their fucking job. They're very sloppy at what they did. The fucking strip is crooked. And oh, by the way, they left my fucking door unlocked. Just like that. So the head maintenance guy reaches out to me. The building GM reaches out to me. They're like, we're sending the head maintenance person back first thing in the morning. We're going to take a look at it. That person came in, took a look at it, said, yep, it's on wrong. We're going to replace the strip. And they apologized all of them several times about leaving my door unlocked. We want to make sure it's an isolated incident. Okay. Now, I don't know how all of you would handle that, but I don't want anybody to lose their job. Again, I come from fucking East Boston. I know what it's like to work to make a buck. But somebody should get reprimanded. Somebody should get fucking, I don't know, docked or fucking backhanded, if I could backhand the person, because you did a shitty job and then you didn't fucking lock the door. Me, I don't care what you do. I don't give a fuck if you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company or you're the fucking janitor of a fucking Target. Take pride in your work. Whatever your job is, do it as best as fucking possible. Or simply, as Bill Belichick would say, do your fucking job. So I got a huge problem when people do a half-assed job, impacts me, inconveniences me, puts me in a pissy mood. I'm getting in a pissy mood just fucking talking about it to the microphone to all you fine people. But I'm just curious. Did I do the right thing? Like, I don't want to snitch. I want the fucking somebody to come up and fix the shit and let them know how it was. But how would you handle something like that? I'm curious. So I want to open up with that little fucking story, that little fucking tale, that little fucking ditty. And now I'm going to get right into the topical shit. Big thing coming up, right? Antonio Brown. You all know I'm a big fucking football fan, one of the biggest around. The NFL, there was a whole thing last year where Antonio Brown had a beef with Roethlisberger and wanted to leave Pittsburgh, so they came to an agreement. They traded that son of a bitch to the Raiders. All this shit's going down in the offseason with Antonio Brown. Doesn't like the helmet, causing fucking problems, missing practices, missing the preseason. All this bullshit that was going down at the Raiders, who have always been a clusterfuck of a team. They got Gruden out there being their coach yet again. They had this whole thing where basically Antonio Brown was going to social media. Again, you should shut the fuck up during the season, but he had to complain about that. And he called their GM, the Raiders GM, an old white guy, a cracker. And now since doing that, they actually said they'll make an amends. They weren't going to suspend him. He was actually going to play the Monday Night Football game. Then it came out today, the day of this recording, recording on Saturday, basically saying that he's been released from the Oakland Raiders. He's gone. Antonio Brown is gone. Now, I figured as much, and everybody's talking about, well, maybe Belichick will take him because he takes those guys that are, you know, either washed up or problem cases. No, he doesn't. You can't compare this guy to Randy Moss. Randy Moss was a different talent. He was a little bit mature, coming towards the twilight of his career, but he got rejuvenated coming in. Antonio Brown is nothing like Randy Moss. I don't think Belichick would do this. I don't think he wants that type of publicity, that type of press. Doesn't want to put that shit into the locker room. I don't think Antonio Brown will now be signed by the Patriots. I do think he absolutely will be signed by another team because the NFL, if anything, you could murder someone, which has been done. You could murder dogs, which has been done. You could beat the shit out of your wife and kids, which has been done. And you will absolutely have a job. Just don't deflate any footballs because that'll get your ass a suspension. So Antonio Brown calling an old white guy a cracker. Okay. I'm going to get a little non-PC here, and let's just see, you know, how you all handle this. You know, I said before, and I'll say it again, I love a good joke. I love a comedic play on a stereotype. I love stand-ups. I like when fucking Chris Rock calls white people crackers. He did a movie, Crack-Ass Cracker. I don't get offended. Because when you do it out of comedy, when you're coming at the direction of saying, I just want to detain someone, that's fine. You know where they're coming from. Everybody knows a fucking joke. Even though we live in this environment today with everybody being little, oh, everybody could be included with the inclusion. Me too. You could be careful what you joke around. People being very fucking PC. Not me. I'm 42. I'm from that old school. I know one thing. I could call somebody something if they're my friend joking around. I can't call someone something if I'm not joking around. Why? Because that means I'm coming at it from a hate. I want to hurt you with those words. So obviously, I'm not going to sit here and have a fucking call someone white a cracker because I'm white. But when Chris Rock, black, calls me a cracker or talks about white people as crackers, I know Chris Rock doesn't hate fucking white people. So he's not fucking using it in that context. To me, it's very entertaining. Same thing with Sebastian Maniscalco. Big fan of his. Going to see him in The Godfather next month. I like when he plays up his Italian ethnicity with him and his dad, their relationship. I grew up like that. Every Italian I know is like that. Does that make Italians loud, stupid, ignorant? We use profanity. No, I'm not putting us on that group, but we have those characteristics. And it's okay because it's from fucking comedy. If anybody, again, whether it's an Italian or not Italian that I didn't like, is calling me a guinea fuck, a womp, yeah, you're trying to hurt me, that odds are I'm going to knock you the fuck out. This right here, we don't have enough cases of this, nor should we. I'm not saying I want any more of this, where a black athlete, a black man playing majority of all the teams are owned by white men, old white men. We've never had somebody yet that I can recall in recent memory, especially during this very tranquil, very on your fucking toes environment where you could be very careful what you say. Have we seen somebody like Antonio Brown, a problem case, who is a black athlete, call an old white guy, a billionaire, a cracker? To me, I'm not going to compare that at all to a white person calling a black person, a derogatory name at all. That's totally different. That word and being called that is totally in another fucking realm of we know what comes with that word. I'm not saying that at all. There's nothing comparable to that word and being called a cracker or a honky. Again, we haven't been fucking enslaved. We haven't had fucking, you know, something where we've been held down because of the color of our skin. So it's not comparable at all. I just see this as a case study where I haven't seen someone, a black athlete who works for a rich white man, call him a fucking cracker. Now, what do we do with this? Now, I don't want people getting all up in arms saying, there's a lot of people on Twitter saying, well, if it's the other way around, if a white athlete called a black man a derogatory remark because of the color of his skin, everybody would be fucking up in arms. Yeah, that does happen in that environment. And yeah, absolutely, everybody would be up in arms. But I don't like the way people are comparing the two. I don't want somebody to say like, oh, it's okay for Antonio Brown to call an old white guy a cracker. It just, to me, I say something like this. Whether he called him a cracker, take the color of the skin aside, a piece of shit, a cocksucker, an asshole, a cunt, a cunt, a motherfucker, you know his intention. Antonio Brown was mad at him, and he threw that out to him. So it's coming from a place of hate. Was that racist? In that context, yes. If Antonio Brown and the GM were buddies, and they're shooting the shit, and he's like calling them, oh, you my cracker-ass cracker, like Chris Rock and their friends, is that racist? No. That's what I want to get at. There's different ways in how people in this day and age that we're all uptight at what's being called. Are people going out there now to fucking ban him from the league for calling a white guy a cracker? No. But you see the extreme if it was the other way around? Yes, that would be a lot of fucking problems. My point is this. Call somebody whatever the fuck you want. If you do it out of comedy and they laugh with you, cool. If you do it out of hate and they want to fight you or they want to knock you the fuck out, then you can live and die by it either way, my man. Either you're someone who does something and entertains people and laughs because you feel comfortable in that relationship, or you're a comedian and that's what you do. You're paying to go to see this shit. You're paying your money to see a comedian, whether they're white or black, play up stereotypes. It's a big part of what comedians do. Take that out of and put into the real world situation of a man going to work and calling his boss something racist. And we over here, sit down and say, is that allowed? They're two separate fucking things. The funny shit is allowed. No, when it's a joke, don't get your panties in a bunch. The stuff when it's directed towards someone and it's hateful, no, when it's hateful and something should be done about it. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is this. Antonio Brown being a piece of shit, son of a bitch that he is, he's not my friend. If I ever saw the fucking dude and he called me a cracker, I'd have a problem with him. Absolutely. All right. Post Malone. I don't think I've ever spoken about Post Malone on the podcast. He released a new album called Hollywood's Bleeding. I'm going to see him next month. I saw him last year. I just wanted to get out there that where, for me, and I think I hop on millennials and Gen Zers and this new generation of music, where I went all the rappers that have their faces tatted up and their hair dyed and shit. Post Malone is all tatted up all over his face. The kid, I think now he's like, I don't know, 23, 24. He's still pretty young. For this generation, for me, it takes a lot for me to like a certain type of new artist, let alone music. To me, Post Malone is one of those newer cats where he doesn't go down a typical hip-hop road, country road, rock road. He's meshing up genres and he's making a sound of his own. And I find him very entertaining. I find his music very... I go through his playlist more than anyone. Since like a Jay-Z, a classic person I listen to, like Tupac or Biggie. Post Malone is one of the newest people who's come out in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. That I could not really relate to, but his music says something to me. And I have gone through his albums, and I'm going to see him in concert yet again. And again, I've said this before, I've only seen Jay-Z multiple times in concert. For me to go to another Post Malone concert, one, I like him, my nieces like him, and my girlfriend likes him. So I'm taking them all, we're all going to go to the concert. But Hollywood's Bleeding, again, it's not Hollywood Is, it's Hollywood's Bleeding, came out, dropped yesterday, Friday. I'm recording this on Saturday, even though the podcast is going up on Tuesday. And a lot of good songs on it. He's going down that road where, again, I'm not taking anything away from him, where the more talented you get, the more artists want to record and be on your album. He has a shit ton of guest stars. All great songs. One of the classic ones out there is one of the songs with Ozzy Osbourne. It's like What You Want From Me, something like that. I forget exactly what it's called. I listened to it a couple of times. But it got Twitter and everybody like, oh my God, Ozzy's singing. I didn't even know Ozzy was still singing. I thought Ozzy from the reality show era, I thought he retired. I thought he was just like so burnt up on fucking drugs that he couldn't record. And I was really surprised and actually kind of happy that this generation was like knew who Ozzy Osbourne was and they were actually excited about this song. And I like that Post Malone went and got Ozzy and put him on a track. It's been a long time for me to have hardcore rocker or somebody mash up the old school rock and roll to somebody like Post Malone. Me, personally, I've always been a fan of Ozzy. My cousin's husband was always into Ozzy when I was a kid, and he used to let me listen to him. And for me, leaving my, you know, hip-hop era, I would always go to Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Motley Crue, but mostly it was hip-hop. And the one other person I went to was Ozzy. So to me, to hear Ozzy Osbourne back in a Post Malone, I'm just like everybody else. I think we're all kind of excited, but I think he is, as long as the dude doesn't get fucked up on drugs, I know he likes his weed and his pills, smoking the cigarette, drinking his whiskey. Post Malone is one of those new talents where I hope he stays healthy and his head cleared enough to have a very long career. I think he's one of those once-in-a-lifetime artists. And I really love his new album. Just wanted to get that out there for all of you fine people. Something comical that I saw also on Twitter this week. Now I'm just going to throw this out there because I just found it funny. I don't know if I really have much of an opinion on it. I think I would love to see more of this. Apparently in Ontario, Canada, for those of you who don't know where the fuck you are, what country, there were raccoons getting fucking hammered, drunk. A woman put a video out there, some pictures of some raccoons just wobbling in the backyard and falling over like they were intoxicated and passing out. And apparently they ran some, I don't know, some tests or some theories of why they're getting drunk. There's actually a lot of fermented fruit that they're overindulging in. So on Ontario, Canada, fucking Canada, there's always some weird shit going on in that fucking country, eh? What's this, all the boot? Don't get mad at me, Canada. I don't know if you even listen to me up there, but it's kind of funny. You heard me a little while ago talking about stereotypes, right? I'm doing it out of love. I'm not trying to hurt anybody in Canada. I do want to see a fucking raccoons in a zoo. So I'm curious if I went to a Canadian zoo, if you would have drunk raccoons weebling and wobbling all over the fucking place. But you know what? Keep doing you, fucking Canada. Keep being friendly and keep letting your fucking raccoons getting bombed and shit-faced. Good for you, I say. Real quick, spinning back over to rap yet again. I forgot to mention this earlier. Nicki Minaj, who basically took her look, her style from Lil' Kim. Oh, yes, she did. Instead, she went a little bit bigger. By bigger, I mean she got the giant breast implants, got the giant ass implants, went down that Kardashian road. Between the Kardashians and her, they made ass implants a fucking trendy thing. Now you see all these skinny fucking 90-pound blonde white girls with ass implants on the street, and it looks fucking ridiculous. But Nicki Minaj, known for her look and ripping off Lil' Kim's style. Again, Nicki Minaj, she can flow, she can rap, but let's make no fucking qualms about it. She is the next coming of Lil' Kim, so if it wasn't for Foxy and Lil' Kim, there'd be no Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj, who's been very public in recent years, going back and forth saying how she's her boyfriend's with Meek Mill and they break up and she put a lot of people on blast, and going after like Cardi B and other rappers, you could tell that she was kind of like struggling of holding her throne, per se. Recently announced, as of like 2 days ago, some point this week, that she is quitting the rap game to start a family. Now, I know what's going to happen. She's probably already pregnant for whoever her flavor of the month boyfriend is right now. She can spit out a kid, and then she's going to come back on an album and be like, the game needed me, blah, blah, blah. But are we at that point? Do we even have those icons in rap anymore that we need to announce a retirement? I mean, when Jay-Z did it, when Hove did it, it was like Michael Jordan. When he went out with the Black Album, which is one of his best albums, maybe his greatest album, next to Reasonable Doubt and whatnot. We all knew he wasn't going to stay retired, and we wanted him to come back, and he came back. He even talked about wearing the 4-5 like Jordan, but that hasn't happened in a long time, and I personally don't feel that there are any rappers out there, nor is Nicki Minaj on that level, that you got to announce a retirement thinking that we all are going to want you back. I don't think this generation wants people back. I think once you're done, you're done. Maybe you come back and go fucking to YouTube. There are barely any music videos anymore, but Nicki Minaj feeling like she had to announce her retirement from rap makes no fucking sense to me. So, all right, Nicki, go do what you got to do. Good luck fucking seeing how your body looks with the implanted boobs and ass when the kid comes out. I don't know. You might look fucking deformed, but I'm pretty sure you have the doctors that could fix you up. But got to get that out there. Being a movie fan, you all know that I'm a movie fan. I don't know how many times I have to say that on here. There's a classic movie, even though Michael Bay and Bruckheimer were partners back then. Michael Bay can't make a good movie with a story or script. He does make decent action movies because it's one action scene after another. He has those special effects where he has the slow-mo over the stars close-up of their face with something happening in the background. He coined that. He perfected it in the 1995 flick Bad Boys, and they made Bad Boys 2. And finally, coming out, they're supposedly shooting back-to-back, but this January 2020, Bad Boys 3, Bad Boys for Life. Then there's going to be Bad Boys 4, which is going to be the very last one, supposedly. The trailer came out. Will Smith looking like Will Smith. I don't know what he does. The dude could look old. He could look young, but he still looks the same. Good for him. He's like 50 now. I think 51, 52. Martin Lawrence, a little bit older. Martin looks all right. He just looks a little old and a little round in the face. But the trailer, typical, you know, Michael Bay. I don't think he actually directed. I think he produced it this time. The action flicks. But for me, I'm always going to have the ties to Bad Boys. That was like a big part of me growing up, getting my license, being with my friends, my cousin, racing my old fucking 1985 Cutlass Supreme, speeding down the fucking streets of East Boston, him yelling to me, "Now that's how you drive." I mean, every time I get behind the wheel of my car, Wesley Snipes, I think of Bad Boys. Bad Boys is flashy, cops being cool, has the hip-hop vibe, being in Miami, rocking the fucking fly clothes, the hot girls, the nasty cars. Bad Boys is always going to have a soft spot in my heart, in my history. So I am looking forward to Old Ass Will Smith and Old Ass Martin Lawrence this January in Bad Boys for Life. The trailer's out there. Take a look at it, people. One last thing, getting back to football in my personal life. I talked about it here, and I'll say it again. I would love to do Survivor Leagues, Fantasy Leagues, and all this. I would love to be in multiple leagues. I am so dedicated to my Patriots. When I had the season tickets, being down there, being sober, watching every game, I didn't want to be distracted. I didn't want to do drafts. I didn't want to trade plays and deal with that shit. Worrying about what defense I'm going to start, what players. I stopped that for years. My company, my department, 2 years ago, decided to start a Survivor League. A true Survivor League in the NFL football is every week you got, you know, to choose one of the games. And you pick a team, and you win, you move on. Win or loss, you can never pick that team again for the rest of the season. But if you lose in a true Survivor League series, once you have a loss, you're out of the Survivor League. The person, my commissioner, set it up 2 years ago where it's more win-loss. So by the end of the season, everybody gets to play the 17 games, because obviously in Survivor League, you do not get a bye week like the professional teams do. We did it the first season. Me, I was a true survivor, honestly, up until week 16. I went 16-0. Everybody was gone by week 9. I just ran with it by myself. And then Jimmy Garoppolo fucking lost that last game of the season, fucked me over. And I ended up winning that last game of the season. I bet against him, and I ended up going 16-1. I still won because it was win losses. Won the title, kept the title. Last year, crazy year of the NFL, crazy year, everything was going on in my personal life. I was you know, obviously dealing with my mom. I was there all the time. I kind of dread coming up as much as fall, and football season is my favorite time of the year. This year, it's going to be a little bit tough. I think every year now going forward, because that's when my mom passed away. But I'll still put my picks in. There were some weeks that I was in and out of the hospital, seeing my mother and dealing with my own shit, where I usually pick them for the entire season up front. And some weeks I'll change depending if like somebody goes down with injury or I didn't like it. Last year, everything I had going on in my life, last year I went 14-3, and it was enough to win the league again. So I won back-to-back. And last year, the year before, every year since I've been into football, and even this year, I got people coming up to me saying, join our Survivor League, join our Fantasy League. My nephew started one. I just can't commit. I would love to do it. I can't do it. But I feel like the Survivor League champion at my office, everybody's shooting the shit. Everybody coming at me. They want the trophy. So I'm going to defend my trophy one more fucking time. As much as I wanted to pull back, I am my Survivor League champion. And they even open it up to more people. I got people coming up to me that I know in the office that are pretty nice people saying, we're coming for your title. I'm coming for you. I'm going to take you down. Look, unlike Tom Brady, who lets all his shit on the field speak for himself. He never really talks shit about anyone. And I'm more laid back. Obviously, at the office, I got a certain culture and a certain attitude I want to keep up with, where I don't want to threaten people. But I'm not Tom Brady. You fucking throw shots at me, you're going to get shot back. You throw rocks at this throne, I'm the king that's going to come down and fucking slay you. So I told everybody at the office, I am like the Tom Brady of the office Survivor League. Kiss my fucking rings. I'm going to go and do what Tom Brady never did. I'm going to win 3 fucking years in a row. And then I'm going to retire on the fucking spot, undefeated Survivor League champion. That's how the fuck I roll. So I just had to get out there. Hans Zimmer's coming in. That's the show. Where to find me? On Instagram, the_T_podcast, and T-Blog, 2 accounts. T-Blog, all one word. All my Instagram shit. Gotta blow it up a little bit more. On Twitter, T-Blog, all one word. The Facebook page, the T-Blog page. Find me on Facebook. Reach me by email, t@t-blog.com, B-L-A-W-G. And of course, you can find me on the T-Podcast twice a week. Sometimes 3 when Bilo's back, not this week, but next week. And that's the show, everyone. Until next time, always take it there.